You're here today, and welcome on Resurrection Sunday. We've been doing a series, and the series is called Snapshots of a Savior. And when I think about the Savior, and I think about kind of what it would look like if Jesus could do a little bit of FaceTime, what it would look like if Jesus had the ability to actually be able to send some pics. What would it look like in his day, in his culture, and what would the pictures look like? Some of you know Pastor Doug and really well, and I love to kind of do all these pics and everything. When we're the youth, especially, quickly it gets there on Facebook and everything, and I always like coming up with some really weird kind of stuff as well. Jesus probably would do that as well. Here's a big theological question. Would Jesus do selfies? You know, I'm trying to figure this all out because Jesus is pretty humble, and because he's humble, I'm not sure if he really would do selfies. You know, anyway, that's a big theological question, and we're not going to answer that today. But just imagine what it would look like if Jesus could take some pictures. And what would some of those pictures look like? I think one of the first pictures that we'd see is a picture of the cross. I think we would see the picture of the cross because when you think about the love of Christ, it reflects so much his love for each and every one of us. Ephesians 5:2 says that Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That's an incredible thing. His love was strong enough that he was willing to give up his life sacrificially for us. Jesus was all in. Out of his love, he gave up his life, and this was not an easy way to go. All the suffering, and you remember the story of all of what took place, the beating and everything that led up to Calvary. We also know that when he was on the cross, what amazing love that he would be willing to suffer. But when the wrath of the Father was placed upon him, he endured that. He paid the ransom. We deserve the wrath of the Father for our sin. But the only one who ever lived a sinless life took upon himself the wrath, the punishment that we deserve. What amazing love, how awesome, and what a huge cost that Jesus would show that kind of love for every one of us. I think another pic that you would see would be this picture. It's a picture of Jesus as he deals with a woman who was caught in adultery. And he's drawing on the sand in the midst of this dialogue with the religious leaders because they didn't like the fact that Jesus and his love was extended to broken people. People that nobody else wanted to love really well, but Jesus loves broken people. And we're told in John chapter 8 that there was this relationship that he wanted to make sure that the Pharisees understood and knew how important lost people were. And we're told that as dawn appeared in the temple court where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them, and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. And they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery." There's all this sense of shame and guilt and placing all that shame and guilt on her. And I know she probably felt very overwhelmed among all the religious people. She felt like, okay, here's what I get. And I deserve this. And in that culture, you know, the guy, he wasn't anywhere to be seen, just the woman and all the shame and all the guilt. And we're told that when Jesus bent down, he started to write on the ground with his finger. There's the picture. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. I think it was maybe a picture of his love, picture that maybe only she saw, maybe some words that only she would see. But I'm sure it was a sense of, "You're not condemned. There's forgiveness in me, in my name, there's forgiveness." And we're told, and at that, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. When it came to trying to deal with all this. And Jesus straightened up and he asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And then these powerful words, "No one, sir," she said, "then neither do I." Forgiveness through Christ, a picture of redemption, a picture of grace, a picture that says lost people, broken people matter to God. And if he loves them well, so should we. I love a phrase among my friends that I work out with in the morning that might be far from God. I'll just say, "God would love hanging out with you guys." And they just are shocked when I say that because, you know, maybe they were just swearing or they were telling a bad joke and there's all this other stuff that goes on as they're working out. And I just say, God and his love works through that, and he loves broken people, and he brings healing to them. That would be another picture, I believe, of Jesus and his amazing love. And then another picture. It's a picture of the Last Supper. It's a picture of brotherhood. It's a picture where, when you think about it, Jesus deeply cared about the people around him. He deeply cared about the people around him, and the Last Supper is a reminder of just the brotherhood and the relationships that they had with each other. It was family. Jesus was all about family. He was all about community. Jesus' love extended and it invited everyone to come into a family unit. He cared deeply about people, and brotherhood mattered, family mattered, community was something that Jesus kept encouraging. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." I love that. He just poured it out. He just lavished this love on us that we should be called children of God. Jesus' love extends, and there's a brotherhood, there's relationship, there's community. Jesus wanted that. He wants us to experience that. He wants us to know that you're not alone in the journey, and he wants us to know that you're part of a family when you come to him in faith. Which brings me to the text this morning. It's found in John chapter 10, because there's one more aspect to his love that we need to talk about and look at and kind of discover for ourselves. Just how great and awesome is that love? Because all these pictures here would describe his love. The cross, yep, there was a sacrifice that the Lamb of God would give his life for us. There was the picture of, and this could have been many pictures that are here for us, of Jesus looking at the person who had a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, and there's forgiveness and there's grace extended. That would have been a picture of all the time of Jesus and his ministry. And finally, the picture of Jesus with his disciples celebrating the Last Supper and all of what community and how family and the family of God really matters to God. All those pictures show his love. But I like this passage in John 10 that goes one more level when it comes to Jesus and his love for us. It's found in John 10, verse 1. "I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That's verses 11, actually. And then he goes on in verse 14 to say, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." I love the fact that there's this analogy of sheep, because as human beings, we're pretty dumb at times when it comes to a relationship with God and kind of following his leadership. And he's the good shepherd. He watches over us. He protects us. And when we make dumb, foolish mistakes, he's right there with us, right? He doesn't let us go off the cliff. At times, he's right on the edge. But he lovingly works in our lives. He's that kind of shepherd for all of us. He says, "I have other sheep. They're not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. For this command I received from the Father." You see, love. Love is something where when you take initiative and you give love to somebody, it means all the difference. Because oftentimes it seems like in relationships, love can be done where it's just out of duty. Or it's just, you know, because they're compelled to or because they have to. Or you could just see in the connotation here, in the whole context of this passage, how it's Jesus that takes the initiative. Jesus is able to lay down his life. Jesus, because he's Almighty God, is able to also to resurrect life. Jesus took the initiative. And it communicates love when somebody out of their own ability say to you, I want to love you this kind of way and this kind of way. Isn't that true? Every one of us, we want that. The other night, some of you have heard our story of wanting to have a place in Chippewa. God has been faithful, and we were able to sell our house, and so we're all good. And God's been faithful in the midst of our little apartment and continuing to help us with good attitudes and knowing that that's the place that God has placed us right now. But we just long to be in that ranch where we can call it home for the next 20, 30 years, and we just know that God has a place. I love Bev, and I want her to have that place. And so on Friday night, we went over to the lake, sat on a bench across the lake from where the houses are, and we just asked the Lord to bless and go before us and make a way so that we could have that house that maybe God would see fit for us to have and bless us in that way. Do you think she knew love? Yeah, because I took the initiative to show her that. What would it look like? Okay, I know you want to go to Chippewa. You want to go to let's go down and pray. Here, we're going to drive to Chippewa. And we're going to let me pray. Lord, oh, Bev wants. Oh, I just, okay. That wouldn't show love. Yesterday, Bev reciprocated that love. I had a bad Saturday morning. Life wasn't working well. The electric went out. I have things to do in my office. It's an important day, Easter Sunday. I just had to come home early, and I thought, okay, I can do my PowerPoint with my laptop and put my laptop up. Doesn't start, right? And Bev said, let's pray. She initiated love, and she said, let's pray. And we prayed, Lord, would you make a way so that that laptop works again? Would you make a way so that today is a good day? And we just bind the enemy and we say, Lord, don't get in the way of this Easter weekend. Don't get in the way of a shepherd who needs to lead and give a message. Don't get in the way of that. Just show your love. Whew, you think that did wonders for my heart? Yeah. What if she said, okay, let's pray. Oh, stop being a baby. What if she said that, all right? Well, that wouldn't show any love. But she initiated it, and she just kept moving down that path to show me her love, like the Savior. For no one has taken it, his life away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I love you, the Savior says. I care about the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves the world, and he does it really well. I think the world is us, broken people, every one of us, broken people that have sinned, broken people that the Savior loved. And he says this to each and every one of us, I love you, and I'll show you my love. I'm going to the cross. Nobody's making me go there. You might think, okay, wasn't it Judas that betrayed? You might think, okay, he went through that whole hearing, and they yelled out, and they said, you know, yeah, crucify Jesus, crucify, you know, you might think it's the people, you might think it's Judas, you might think it's all the circumstances of life, and that's why he went to the cross. But the truth is, he went to the cross, and he took initiative, and he showed love for each and every one of us. It's amazing love when we choose to love in that way. And he chose to lay down his life as a sacrifice. And this is really cool, right? Because you got to get the point of Easter. This is really, really cool because it's not just about how he laid down his life. But the cool thing is he says, you know what? And if I can lay it down, I'm powerful enough to also take it up and I can conquer death. In the power of my name, I'll conquer death. He was able to not only lay down his life, but to know that in 3 days, just as he said, he would resurrect and conquer death. What great hope that is. Isn't that? That's the good news of Easter. That's the great news of Easter, that this Jesus took upon himself, initiated that kind of love, and showed us in amazing ways how great and awesome it was and how God deeply cared about our sins to go lovingly to the cross and to forgive. Wow. Isn't that cool? And the fact that he could take that initiative, and not only with his death, but also with resurrection life, is an amazing thing. You see, Easter gives us hope. Easter gives us hope in the sense that there's new life in Christ. A story was told of a young boy in middle school, Down syndrome, never really accepted, never really loved too well by his peers because he was different. And his Sunday school teacher said, hey, we're going to do something. What we're going to do is I'm going to give you an egg. Everyone's going to get an egg. And what I'm going to do is have you go outside, and I want you to find something to put in this egg that represents new life, right? And so the kids are all excited, you know, and they're going outside. You know, I'd be the kid that was trying to get the butterfly. You know, I can get it, you know, let me find it. I'd be that kid or whatever. Anyway, they're all going outside, and they're trying to figure out something that would symbolize new life. And it was spring, and so they're getting leaves and plants and other things. And I think there was even a kid that found a caterpillar. So anyway, they're all doing all that, right? And this one boy with Down syndrome, he ended up coming back, and they were opening up all the eggs, and they're finding all this. And the teacher opens up his egg, and there's nothing in it. And, of course, the kids are like, really? Can't believe you'd do that. There's nothing, you know, and they're belittling him. And the teacher's trying to say, no. He says, no, there's something in it. It's the empty grave, right? It's the empty tomb. There's new life in the empty tomb. There's new life in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. There's new life. He got it. Wasn't too much longer before he went home to be with the Lord. Illness, sickness, and his peers brought their eggs, empty eggs, up to his casket, and they placed it there in the casket to represent new life in Christ, that the word, the enemy is not going to get the last word. There's resurrection hope. There's faith in the Lord Jesus, the one that rose from the dead. The tomb is empty. There is new life in him. And when we believe and we trust in the resurrection hope, we have that kind of certainty about eternal life and about faith and about knowing where we'll spend eternity. The empty tomb is everything. It brings us great joy to know that. Where are you today? When it comes to his amazing love and when it comes to the Easter message, where are you today? Has there been a point in your life where you trusted Jesus to come into your life and to be your leader, forgiver, where you actually received the love of a Savior? Because he says, but as many as received unto them, he gave the right to become children of God. That he gives us that right to become children of God. His love is received when we come to him in faith. It's a free gift. Not one of us deserves it. We're all broken people, right? Every one of us sinners. Here we are. It's Easter Sunday 2017. You have something really in common. We're all broken people. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. Amen. Amen. You get that? We all are there. But when we receive the gift, he cleanses us. He makes us new. He invites us into a family. We don't have to worry about death one day, which we all will go through. We have that resurrection hope. We have the fact that Jesus is the one that shows us love and extends that love, and he conquered death. And so we have nothing to worry about. Have you ever done that? You need to make that decision, even today, so that you'll have that confidence of where you'll spend eternity. And Easter Sunday 2017 is a great time to say, I believe and I trust, I turn my life over to this Jesus. Maybe you've been a follower of Christ for a long time, and maybe you just needed a fresh renewal when it came to understanding how much he loves you and cares about you. Maybe for you today, it's a reminder of how awesome is his love and the fact that he breathes new life into every one of us. And it's a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not religion. It's a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe today would be that time of renewing your spirit and encouraging you to receive the love of the Savior, but to walk with the Savior each and every day in that relationship with him. Easter 2017, it's an awesome time. It's a time to express how great and awesome is his love. He loves you. And he willingly laid down his life for you. He laid it down. He took initiative. He loved you that way. And he also took his life back because there's a resurrection hope in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for today and the reminder of how awesome is your love. I thank you, Lord, that you speak into the lives of broken people. And every one of us, Lord, can relate to the woman who was caught in adultery. Maybe we haven't done something like that, but our sin is still something, Lord, that is not acceptable. And if every one of us were to put our sin up on the board or up front and we'd look at it, we'd be all aghast at all of what we've done. But Lord, there's the cross in front of all of that. There's the cross that expresses our love and our great and awesome grace. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray, Lord, today that you would encourage us down a path of greater devotion, greater love. That today, Lord, we do understand that forgiveness, that grace that broken people receive. And I pray, Lord, that we would not only know what faith is, but you'd help us to grow in that relationship with you. So today, Lord, we pray that Easter Sunday be a Sunday where we extend and know the love of a Savior. If we haven't trusted you, I pray, Lord, that we would do that even today. I pray as well, Lord, that in our spirit there would be that encouragement to renew our relationship with you. Bless each and every one here today, and may we leave from here today knowing that there's hope in the Savior, that death was conquered, the grave is empty because Jesus Christ laid his life down willingly for us, and he took it up. And there's life eternal in Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.